Streaming programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A top-level inquiry has now begun to determine if the British government purposely misled that country's parliament about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction programs. Giving evidence earlier at the beginning of those hearings, former House of Commons leader Robin Cook, who quit to protest the war in Iraq, said he believed Prime Minister Tony Blair was duped into pushing for the invasion.
I actually have no doubt about the good faith of the Prime Minister and others who engaged in this exercise. If anything, I think perhaps the problem was the burning sincerity and conviction of those who were involved in the exercise.
The influential Foreign Affairs Select Committee is carrying out a separate inquiry to the one ordered by Prime Minister Blair. That investigation is focusing on alleged evidence presented in a government commissioned dossier claiming Iraq could launch chemical or biological weapons in only 45 minutes. Back here at home, meanwhile, top congressional lawmakers are also questioning the Bush administration's motivations for going to war with Iraq. Michigan Democratic Senator Carl Levin, who's the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says he believes some of the facts about Iraq's suspected weapons of mass destruction were distorted before they were presented to the president.
I think there's troubling evidence of exaggeration and distortion on the part of the intelligence community. There surely was no justification that we could see here.
Levin claims while CIA Director George Tenet has publicly said he shared all the high-end weapons sites with United Nations weapons inspectors, classified documents prove otherwise. He says Tenet refuses still to declassify those sites actually shared with the United Nations. An American soldier now has been shot and killed by a sniper in Baghdad, and that's triggered massive house-to-house searches for weapons in the Iraqi capital. Dozens of troops have been working their way through the central part of the city and also have been sealing off roads. The dead soldier had been taking part in a patrol in the area and was sitting in a vehicle when he was shot. Separately, a car exploded at an intersection that had been earlier manned as a checkpoint by coalition troops.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A new Labor Department report could ease investors' fears of deflation. It shows underlying inflation in May rose at its fastest rate in about 9 months. Labor Department attributes the rise to a jump in the cost of housing and lodging. The Core Consumer Price Index, the gauge of inflation in the U.S. that strips out volatile food and energy prices, advanced by 0.3%. Energy costs, meanwhile, dropped 3.1%, helping to keep consumer prices relatively steady. It was the second monthly drop in energy costs as prices earlier inflated by concerns over war in Iraq continued to fall.
Daddy, can't we read a different book tonight?
Shh. We're just getting to the good part. To set the correct throttle position, loosen the pinch bolt to rotate the governor arm.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
French police have conducted a massive raid on an Iranian opposition group in Paris and say they've arrested over 150 people affiliated with the People's Mujahideen. A story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
More than 1,300 police officers were involved in the raids across Paris ordered by anti-terrorist judge Jean-Louis Bruguière. It follows a long-running investigation into the activities of the People's Mujahideen, a group which has in the past been declared a terrorist organization by Iran, the United States, and the European Union. The operation targeted around 150 people who police reportedly believe were preparing to commit or finance acts of terrorism. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And North Korea is warning the U.S. any possible blockade against it as a result of the current nuclear impasse would result in, quote, limitless retaliation. The U.S. has discussed policing the waters along with South Korea, China, and Russia to enforce, it says, existing laws. The North, though, says that could spark a conflict that would eventually spread to Japan, which it calls a, quote, U.S. base of aggression. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to our program, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from west coast to east, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to Panama, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe and Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Our question for this hour, is the media biased? And if so, is that a bad thing? We find FAIR, for example, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, which some would say is a notorious left-wing source, did a survey of 1,617 on-camera sources and concluded only 3% of sources interviewed in American media during the pre-war and war period were anti-war. 71% were pro-war. On the other side, you have an article by Corinna Collins, suggesting that the Media Research Center's work has found that television war coverage was plagued by the same problems detected during previous conflicts. Too little skepticism of enemy propaganda, too much mindless negativism about America's prospects, and a reluctance on the part of most networks to challenge the premises of the anti-war movement. Corinna Collins is a senior editor at Rollins. Corinna Rollins is a senior editor at the American Enterprise magazine of the American Enterprise Institute. She's written for the National Review. She was there 4 years. She's also worked on the New York Post editorial page. Corinna, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Or should I say, wie geht es Ihnen?
Mir geht es gut. Danke.
Schön. Louise and I lived in Germany for a year also. I saw that in your bio. I thought that's great. Anyway, I'm sure your German is better than mine. We got an email yesterday from apropos of this topic, although I hadn't set it up. It's just one of those coincidences. One of our listeners, Joel in Sherman, Texas, he says, the media is liberal, at least according to Pat Buchanan. Eric Altman has it all wrong in his latest book. So, Tom, how do you reconcile this? Could it be that liberals and conservatives have different sets of definitions as to what these words, liberal and conservative, mean? What do you think?
Well, I think that may. I'm sure that's true. You know, I'm I'm sure that's true, but that's not even the biggest problem. As I tried to demonstrate in my piece, the biggest problem is actually a lot of inaccurate, incomplete, and misleading reporting that is not a result of a specific conscious agenda to skew something in the liberal direction, but a lot of it is carelessness and general naivete that sort of accepts a lot of this anti-American liberal attitude as fact. I mean, there were so many examples. You know, 3 days into the war, we had well-meaning people, anchors and reporters on TV asking people, so do you think this is a second Vietnam? Is this another quagmire? 3 days
well,
into
it?
The war, you know, like where did that come
Corinna,
from?
Though, but Corinna, is it?
I
mean, it's
it
starting
what?
To look like it, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's starting to look like it, isn't it? We had another guy die this morning.
Well, what the problems that we're facing now, you can't really compare that to what was happening 3 days into the war. I mean, the war coverage, the war act, the war itself actually went extremely well. And yes, we have a lot of problems right now. And I mean, Operation Scorpion has been started specifically because of, you know, all these Ba'athist enclaves left over and they're killing Americans. And that's horrible. That does not excuse the misreporting of the war. Just one thing, and this is was written by Greg Easterbrook for the New Republic, and that is, you know, not some crazy right-wing publication. And he points out, just think of all the things that were supposed to happen, that were promised to the public, and that actually did happen. And he says, quote, this was promised. Highly accurate smart bomb strikes with very few aircraft losses and few accidental hits of civilian targets. Expected. It happened. Complete dominance of Iraqi
wait
armor
a second,
by
wait
U.S.
A second,
Army.
Wait a
it ex- ten, was expected
ten,
it happened.
10,000 dead Iraqi civilians is minimal?
Well, for this kind of war, yes. I mean, any loss of life is tragic, but for this kind of war, it is. And if you think about that Saddam Hussein killed...
But this was a country that had already... I mean, this is like saying, okay, let's have a fist fight. First, I'm going to break your knees. I mean, this is a country that had been wiped out. They had no Air Force. Every single plane in their Air Force had been destroyed during the no-fly zone time. They had... their army was a joke. They had no serious weapons. This wasn't a war. This was a bully beating up some guy who's bound and gagged on the ground.
Well, but it was not a bully. I mean, we really had evidence day after day of American and British soldiers going out of their way, risking their own lives to avoid bombing and targeting civilian areas, to avoid killing civilians.
Even mosques.
Even buildings that were empty, they would go out of their ways. They know we can't hit there. That's a really important mosque to these people in this city. I mean, I found that breathtaking.
Yeah, well,
the restraint.
And I also admire our military when they're doing well broadly. You know, I mean, there's a lot of the people in our military are Americans. I mean, I'm sure the vast majority of them are noble people who are well motivated, and I think we can absolutely agree on that. That's the question for this hour that I'm really curious about is the media biased? Because that was certainly the what I got from reading your article was that there was this left wing bias to the media, not just incompetence. I mean, let me give you
an example of what I would call left-wing bias. Take a look at these headlines from the New York Times and the L.A. Times. On the third day of the war, when there was really such minimal damage, you know, they were using these smart bombs for precision strikes. And, I mean, the Iraqis themselves weren't scared because we kept hearing reports of Iraqis standing out in the street or on their own balconies watching the bombs fall. I mean, they knew that the bombs were so precise they could take out one building and the electricity would remain on in the building next to it. Yet,
they knew that it didn't matter if they stood on the balcony or if they stood inside. If they got hit by one of those bombs, they were toast.
But they weren't hit, though. And this is what the New York Times said, though. U.S. bombs.
Well, 10,000 of them were hit.
U.S. bombs ravaged targets in Baghdad. Same day, Baghdad bombing brings back memories of 9/11. In other words, equating the American invasion, trying to rid the country of an evil dictator, equating that with terrorists coming to our country to kill Americans here. And then on March 26th, this headline, even some of Hussein's Arab foes take a certain pride in his fight. I mean, all of this is sort of psychologically geared toward rah, rah, rah for Saddam Hussein. And the worst one by
far... You really
far,
think so, Corinna?
Well, what do you think?
You really
about
think
this?
These people like Saddam Hussein?
You mean the people at the New York Times?
The people who wrote these headlines in the New York Times?
No, I don't think they specifically like him. I think they despise Bush and this administration to the point that they'll skew anything in any way. Let me read you one more headline.
No, that's fine. I'll agree with you.
Okay.
You don't need to convince me. I know that there are people in the media who hate Bush, and I know that there are people in the media who love Bush.
But it's pretty obvious who they are.
But
the mainstream media, what is considered as the mainstream, the biggest media, the New York Times is the gray lady, the paper of record. Historically, I mean, there's many reasons now, you know, now we have the Jason Blair thing, but even before, there's been many reasons why, you know, that may not necessarily
be the case. Corinna, wouldn't you say that there's a similar bias in the Washington Times? The paper that's owned
maybe
by
maybe so,
Moon.
But the Washington Times has a relatively small circulation and is sort of seen as this little fringe right wing paper. It is not.
It's the only paper that the president
reads.
As
the main paper for America, the way, or one of the main papers for the entire country, the way the New York Times is. The New York Times pretend. I mean, the Washington Times does not pretend that it's not conservative. The New York Times.
Well, I think this is the big issue.
Does pretend that it's not liberal.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that the big issue here is it possible for media to not have bias, and is that something that we should really strive toward? Or I mean, you know, I wrote a piece that's on Common Dreams today about what happened in 1798 when John Adams passed the Alien and Sedition Act, so that era's version of the Patriot Acts,
mm-hmm.
and then he shut down 17 of the 20. Democratic Republican newspapers, arrested their editors, and 10 of them were still in prison when Jefferson came into power, and the first thing Jefferson did as his first official act of office was to pardon all the people who had been arrested under the Alien and Sedition Acts by John Adams. And they were arrested for things like one guy called John Adams toothless in an editorial. For that, he was arrested. But the point is that back then, there were newspapers. You knew where your newspapers stood. There were newspapers that were Federalist, and there were newspapers mm-hmm. that were Democratic Republican. I remember when I was growing up in Detroit, in Michigan, back in the 50s and 60s, we had the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News. And the Free Press was the Democrat paper, the Democratic paper, and the Detroit News was the Republican paper. And and not only their editorials were skewed that way, their news coverage was too. Most cities in the United States had two newspapers or more, most cities of any size, and they had a clear political bias. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with it is that the sentiment in today's society is that news coverage in magazines and newspapers is supposed to be objective. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you have to go sort of with the attitudes and the assumption of a society. If everyone was assuming that what they read is skewed, that would be one thing. But these papers pretend, act like their news coverage is entirely objective. And again,
yeah,
all
Fox
these things,
News proclaims it.
I'm sorry?
Fox News proclaims
Fox
it. And yet, I saw one of their quote anchor guys during the war with Iraq pump his fist up and down in the air and go, yeah. I mean, that's fair and balanced. Corinna, we have a caller here. If anybody would like to call and be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Ed in Dayton, Ohio is on the line.
Hello.
Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi.
Hey.
I can barely hear you. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. So, Ed, you had a question for Corinna?
Very quiet. Yes. I had a question and a comment. I do think, you know, you can talk all you want to about the conduct of this war and about the people who are over there and what they're doing and how they're doing it, but I think that the biggest problem isn't with any of that. I have nothing against the people in the military. I think that the biggest problem is, why did we have to fight this war in the first place? And the reason we had to do it, you know, or the reason that people thought we had to do it, is because Saddam Hussein was essentially installed in power by Western corporate interests and the government of the countries where those originate, including the United States, France, and others. And to suggest that somehow, because somebody is asking the question, is this going to be a quagmire, implies that they're biased. Anytime you get into any kind of a war, there's a legitimate question about how it's going to go. And to ask that question is not a bias. To say that this is a quagmire would be a bias. But to ask that question is not any kind of an indication of bias at all.
Okay. Ed, thank you for the question. Corinna, we're going to go to a commercial break here in just a second, and I'll give you a chance to respond to that when we come back. Also, back in September 15th, the New York Post had a headline, "In Iraq, War Scenario, Oil is Key Issue. U.S. Oil Drillers Eye Huge Petroleum Pool." In which the author said American companies will have a big shot at Iraqi oil and talked about what good this would do for the American economy. We'll get back to that as soon as we come back from this break. Stay with the Tom Hartmann program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're speaking with Karina Rollins, the senior editor at the American Enterprise. Karina, what's the website if people want to read your writings or learn more about your position and views on all these things?
We are at www.TAE, that stands for the American Enterprise, TAEmag.com.
That's an email address?
That is our web address, www.TAEmag.com.
Okay, TAEmag.com.
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 825-5937. And Ed in Seattle, Washington, has a question for Karina. Karina, I'm pronouncing it right now?
Yes.
Okay, my apologies. Ed, welcome to the program.
Tom, how you doing? And hi,
I'm well. How are you?
Hi, how are you? You're the same one who made the comment right before the break, right?
No, that was John from Long Beach, California.
Oh, that was John.
I'm sorry. Do we have John from Long Beach on or Ed from Seattle?
You got Ed from Seattle here.
We got Ed. John is holding. I'm sorry. I got my guests mixed up.
Oh, okay.
No, that was Ed in Dayton, Ohio, who made the comment before. This is a new Ed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
Two Eds.
Sorry about that. Okay.
I just wanted to respond very briefly to the comment made by the caller right before the show. His point is well taken. I mean, the U.S. definitely had its hand in dealings with Iraq and being buddy-buddy with Saddam Hussein. The thing is that they did stop. The French never did. And the thing about not being able to... I did not mean to imply that you should never question how the war effort is going. But these accusations of quagmire really struck me as not just sincere questions about, oh dear, how is our war effort going, but sort of almost an eagerness to see the coalition fail. They were basically frothing at the mouth, and I just felt 3 days into the war was too early to talk about a failure.
Yeah,
it was
saw it as
sort of ridiculous impatience. That was my point.
Yeah, and by the way, the quote that I read from the Washington Post just before the break was from an article by Ahmed Chalabi.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting that if the U.S. was to invade Iraq, we could make a pile of money on their oil. Ed in Seattle, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ed.
No, that's all right, Sean. First of all, Ms. Karina, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, and I hope to God you don't.
Okay.
I think you're very delusional. Somewhere along the line, your mind has been stripped of something of thoughtfulness, ideology, and some type of sense of caring for the human being. I was a former Marine for 6 years.
I'm sorry, what about a human being? You're mumbling. I can't understand you.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to mumble. I'm just trying to say, as human beings are concerned, I think your perception of what our value is pretty much zero. I don't think you put a value on the human being that's out there on the battlefield.
Oh, my gosh.
First and foremost.
What makes you say that?
The reason why I say, when you speak of casualties or whatever the case may be as far as people getting killed in a war, oh, well, we didn't kill that many, and we tried to bomb this area and that area. Excuse me, being in the clutches, being in the Marines like I was for 6 years, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard going into battle. And I took an oath to this country while I was in there to defend this Constitution against foreign enemies, all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'm sorry. The terrorists is one thing. Iraq, I don't know what that was. I have no idea what that was all about. And for a leader of this country to send me somewhere to die for this country, knowing that it's been a lie and it's false, and I don't see any kind of imminent threat, how could your brain be so delusional? I don't understand it.
Thirdly, okay,
and you can take it off third, and I don't mean to shout it. I'm just trying to understand. You're going to be a very important person someday.
Yeah, Ed, we got your question. And we
okay,
got your point,
can I respond?
Yeah, Karina.
The thing is, I understand completely having a different opinion about the necessity of the war than President Bush. What I don't really understand is accusing me of not valuing human life. I am very concerned about human life. As a matter of fact, I was very concerned about Saddam Hussein killing, murdering, butchering, torturing, slaughtering thousands of his own citizens every single year. I don't really see how I can be accused of not caring about human life. And I think I understand what it means.
Karina, I think that Ed's, you know, there. I think that there's a rage out there simmering under the surface with
the idea that our
GIs have died.
He's accusing me of not having a brain.
I think that's a little
off.
Karina, we've got a commercial break. If you want to hold on, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. With less than 2 weeks to go before a contract covering 650 employees expires, managers of the Baltimore Sun are hedging their bets against a strike. The Sun is seeking replacement workers from other newspapers in the vast Tribune Company. Strikebreakers are being offered normal pay plus the salaries of those they're replacing, along with a daily stipend and room and board expenses. The Sun has also offered a $1,000 signing bonus to employees should they accept the paper's current proposal, a contract that union negotiators with the Baltimore-Washington Newspaper Guild say falls far short of the union's demand for $6 annual raises and greater job security.
Workers in the UK will be better protected from workplace stress thanks to a new probationary government code that went into effect yesterday. The code requires all employers to identify and study stress factors on the job classified under six different categories. They must then implement plans to reduce the stressors, and if a majority of workers don't feel the company has successfully lessened workplace stress, they or the government can sue for damages. For the time being, the code is in a testing phase with mandatory implementation expected next year.
A protest over sweatshop conditions in Cambodia's clothing factories turned deadly last weekend. Garment workers in Phnom Penh's textile district had been demanding higher wages and the reinstatement of a fired union supporter when riot police opened fire with Kalashnikov rifles, killing one and injuring 16 others. According to the National Labor Committee, Cambodia's 200,000 garment workers are mostly young women who work up to 80 hours per week for as little as $35 a month. They produce clothing sold at such U.S. retail chain stores as Banana Republic, Nike, Adidas, Old Navy, and The Gap.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
Here with the Tom Hartman program where democracy is still alive and well. Karina Rollins, we're speaking with, the senior editor at the American Enterprise, a publication of the American Enterprise Institute. And Karina, first of all, I want to say what I was trying to say as we came up against the break is that I think that Ed in Seattle's comment was perhaps inappropriately personalized, but that he was reflecting a widespread concern across America about, did George Bush lie to us? Did we send our youth over to another nation to die for what? For Ahmed Chalabi's oil that he proselytized about in the Washington Post in September? And I think that that's a concern. We also, we have John in Long Beach, Mark in Santa Fe, and Jeff in Dallas on the line. Karina, you still with us?
I am still here.
Okay.
Can I just say that Ahmed Chalabi really has a long record of being an honorable and dignified man, and I don't think it necessarily should automatically disqualify someone from the ranks of the honorable and dignified to point out that since we are in this war and since the oil does need to be managed, maybe it would be good for certain companies to take advantage of it. I mean,
sure. Although I consider him a stooge for the oil industry.
You know, and maybe that's the case. All I'm saying is it does not necessarily disqualify someone. I mean, he's you know, the Iraqi National Congress has worked long and hard to oppose Saddam Hussein, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, although, you know, Chalabi has been charged with bank fraud. I mean, well, that's a whole other topic. Let's get to our callers here.
Okay.
I don't want to keep people on hold. John from Long Beach, California, thank you for holding through two breaks here, John, when I got things out of sequence. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I'll hold.
Hey, John?
Yeah. Am
welcome.
I on?
You're on.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going for a break. No, I first of all, I wish this lady would quit referring to the Iraqi debacle as a war. It was not a war. It was an illegal invasion of a country that was not posing any threat to us or to any other countries around it. Now, that's a fact, Jack. Now, she wondered why the other fellow was upset with her. It's because she has such a cavalier attitude towards the thousands and thousands of people who were killed there, most of them children.
I think
apparently
you're the one who has
seen
the cavalier attitude.
Wait a minute, just a minute, lady. Apparently you have not seen the children who were wounded and lost legs and everything else because we want the oil. I can guarantee you one thing. If that had been a state where producing kumquats, we would have not went in there.
If the caller is so concerned...
Thanks, John, for your comments. Karina?
Once again, I'm sorry to have to repeat myself, but these callers, if they're so concerned about human life and human suffering, why were they not concerned? Why were they not outraged about what Saddam Hussein and his butcher? Would you please let me finish, sir? Sir, would you please let me finish?
Yeah, John is gone. Please finish.
My question is why there was never any outrage, why there was never any public outrage, people calling into talk shows screaming like you are now, sir, about Saddam Hussein dipping people into acid baths, killing them, torturing them, slaughtering them. But when a war happens to get rid of this man and there are absolutely unavoidable tragedies that happen, then all of a sudden that is the biggest atrocity that ever happened. That just does not seem logical or humane to me.
Right. Karina, I'm sorry. And thanks, John, I appreciate your call. If our mission was to get rid of a bad guy, why didn't we start with Robert Mugabe? He has already murdered almost a million of his people in the last 6 years, and he's got 2 million people that will be dead a year and a half from today.
Well, look, this was never supposed to be just a humanitarian war.
There you go. See, that's why you weren't hearing those people shouting about Saddam before, because there's 140 countries out there that are dictatorships, and if you want to start coming up with bad guys, there's a long list. Let's go to Mark in Santa Fe.
Okay.
Mark has a question for you. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, Karine.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have any kids, Karine?
Karina.
I do not.
You don't. So you haven't experienced childbirth?
Are you?
Yeah, I just have this theory that women
disqualify me.
Well,
yeah, this is kind of personal, Mark. I mean,
does that bother you? I'm sorry if that bothers you.
Let's try to keep it to the issues here.
Well, the issue is that if somebody didn't experience childbirth, and then they don't know the pain of childbirth, and it's very easy for a man to say, for instance, that's not that bad. I mean, it's your duty anyway. It's very hard for me to hear someone who is... Kareen, have you ever been in battle?
Have you ever been bombed, Kareen?
I personally have not, but just because, you know, there are zillions of things I'm sure that have never happened to you before, but you have opinions about them.
Well, let's
talk about
those.
I'm perfectly capable of making moral arguments about things that I have not experienced
myself.
Why
are you being defensive?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Mark, I'm going to stop you right there. Mark, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in, but I don't think that it serves anybody's purpose for us to personalize this stuff. Kareena has her opinions. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. We're all entitled to them, and I don't think any of us have to recite our life story in order to justify them. Jeff in Dallas has a comment for you, Kareena. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, Kareena.
Good morning.
I noticed a few moments ago that you were reviling people or pointing out how horrible they were for, quote, frothing at the mouth for us to lose. So now the reason I'm bringing that up before I make my what I say what I want to say is that is extremely disrespectful to the people who were opposed to this war. And so what's happening here is you're getting outraged and upset when people are critical of you, and then you lash out by making statements like that. So if you want to have a dignified and civil conversation, let's have a dignified and civil conversation about this and
stop
lashing out.
Well, I don't think any of the questions that I've gotten today have been civilized or dignified. Not so far.
Okay. Well, let me
explain. With the exception of the first caller.
Let me explain something to you.
Well,
there are many of us who thought that George Bush was lying before in every possible way about the justifications for this war. We thought that bombing Iraq and bombing Afghanistan was not the way to fight terrorism. We felt the same way that someone in Nazi Germany would feel when they looked at their leader and saw him invading other countries inappropriately. And I will tell you, I certainly do not, even though I have a brother who is a colonel in the Air Force and over there, I do not want to see the United States, George Bush, win this, because I believe that the result of that will be to encourage George Bush to be aggressive and to invade other countries and to further damage the reputation of the United States.
So you would have been happier if Saddam's killer regime had won the war?
Absolutely, because I don't think we should have invaded in the first place.
That's your...
Okay.
Your view.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the call. I think, Kareena, the question perhaps that Jeff would have answered yes to, I, of course, I can't answer for Jeff, but might have been, do you think that, not should Saddam have won the war, but should Saddam still be in power? That is, should there never have been a war?
I asked him the direct questions, and he said yes unhesitatingly when I said, does he wish Saddam Hussein had won the war? And he said yes.
He may well have that opinion.
The thing is, though, just to bring the subject back to the topic that I thought the show was supposed to be about,
right.
What we were trying to do in this issue of the American Enterprise was not present the grand justification for the war, but look at how, since the war has started, how was it reported? Now, whether you agree that the war should have started or not in the first place, I'm still assuming that most people would want the reporting on the war to be as objective as possible.
Right. And that
was what my piece was about. And I just do not think that overblown claims, for example, taking the looting story, you know, for weeks we heard, oh, my gosh, our entire heritage of civilization has been destroyed by looters. And that was a huge story replayed over and over again for days and weeks. And then we find out, oh, actually, it's not that 170,000 pieces of priceless items are missing. It's 29 pieces. So that's only an original misestimate of 1,069,971. And these
corrections
corrections were not made very public. And who was being blamed throughout the time? Not the looters and vandals themselves, but the Americans. It's things like that that I sort of thought that we could all agree on were misrepresented, should not have been misrepresented, regardless of how you feel about the war effort itself.
Yeah, good points. And although I would say that... the fact that we let them loot this uranium. We've got, I mean, you've got parts of the country contaminated.
That's the big problem.
Like you said, we're wandering off into another topic.
With that.
And you're right. And our question, is the media biased? If so, is that a bad thing? What's wrong with bias in the news? A couple of questions that I'd like to talk with you about maybe some other time is because we've got three more callers stacked up here, Mike in Washington, D.C., Paul in Boston, and Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. Is corporate rule any less odious than governmental rule? You know, I think that this is an important question because it speaks to these things. And maybe, hopefully we can get back to these. But if we can just take some of these calls and get them out of the way here. Mike, or not to get them out of the way, but here. I'm sorry. Mike, welcome to the program. Mike in Washington, D.C. You're on with Karina Rollins, who is the editor of The American Enterprise, which, Karina, again, the website was?
TAEMag.com.
TAEMag.com. Thanks. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Okay. I'm afraid I'm going to have to deconstruct your guest on several levels. First of all, the comment that she's been making about, well, Saddam is so terrible, he murdered his own people. Okay, by that wonderful statement, should we go around the world and remove all the horrible people, starting with Ariel Sharon, who was murdering people on a daily basis, and we support him? Should we have removed, actually, should we not have installed Augusto Pinochet, who murdered thousands of
Mike,
people?
Mike, I think that we both understand your point. My question for you, Mike, is do you think that the media in the United States has a right or left-wing bias?
It has a very demonstrable right-wing bias, A. B.
Can you give me one example?
I could give you thousands upon thousands of examples.
I'd be happy with
one.
I've given many examples today of headlines. Left-wing bias. I'd like to hear some right-wing bias.
Oh, you would. Okay. How about, we found the trailers of biological weapons. We know that they're biological weapon trailers. And when the facts come out that they're not, and everyone knows that they're not, oh, gee, sorry, mistake. You know, we sit here, we know that where Saddam is, so we're going to bomb the crap out of, oops, we didn't know. We murdered a whole bunch of innocent people, but that's not important.
No, they never claimed to know exactly where Saddam Hussein was. They were acting on intelligence given to them by an Iraqi, and they hoped that's where he was.
Okay. Mike, thanks for your call and your comment. I appreciate it. We still have Paul in Boston, Tony in Waukegan, and now Ed in Chicago, who promises he won't be mean. He has a comment.
Oh,
but first Paul in Boston. We're talking with Karina Rollins of the American Enterprise, TAEMag.com. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Well, thank you, Karina. You're very brave to come on this show.
Thanks.
I'd like to. You brought up the supposed looting of the priceless Iraqi art treasures as an example of a sort of anti-American or bias in the media or overly critical reporting by our U.S. media.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal reporting.
Yeah. Well. Okay. I would point to. I mean, time after time. Top administration officials have, for instance, hyped weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq that turned out to be nothing but pesticides. And the latest, the trailers. I mean, the credulousness of our mainstream media in reporting the official American line, often by anonymous military or administration sources, as single-sourced articles. Looking at Judith Miller's reporting in the New York Times, where in an absolutely bizarre article that was vetted by the Pentagon, she reported on the discovery of an Iraqi scientist who said that Saddam's weapons were carted out of Iraq into Syria right before the war started.
Paul, I need you to wrap this up because we've got about two minutes left.
I'm just saying
that
in the fog of war, there are many instances of misreporting, and to say that that this is solely attributable to liberal biases, I think, just not believable on its face.
Okay, your comment is noted.
Thank you, Paul.
You want to respond, Karina?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that point is well taken. I mean, obviously there is misreporting can happen on any level, and one phenomenon or aspect of today's media is the hype. You know, so. And as I was saying earlier, this is not all just liberal. I was saying there was a lot of just inaccurate carelessness. And I think a part of it is not due to liberal ideology. It's due to wanting to have the big story and have a hype. And it's much more exciting to say, oh, my God, you know, 3 days into the war, oh, my God, Americans are being slaughtered left and right, quagmire, we're going to lose. That's more exciting and gets you more headlines and more viewers than to say, oh, things are going pretty well, but we have to see what's happening. On this, right. In the same vein, of course, it happens the other way, that media outlets want to report that we have found the big stash of weapons of mass destruction. And so if we hear of one report of trailers where they might be, people go overboard in the media and say, oh, we found them, we found them. So this happens on both levels. The thing is, in my research and in the research of the Media Research Center, which, yes, they are not a liberal organization, and they're more or less a conservative.
They claim that they're conservative.
They are conservative, but the thing is,
right at the top of their head.
But the thing is, everything they point out did happen. Unless you can tell me that, oh, they doctored these tapes and Peter Jennings didn't actually say what they claim he said. You know,
it seemed to me that most of the things that they were complaining about were like, we didn't really like what he said. I mean, how do you deal with the fact that only 3% of all the sources of all the people who were interviewed on all news programs right across the board were anti-war at a time when 27% of the American public was anti-war?
Well, I don't know, but all I can tell you is that it was more than just we didn't like what he said. One thing in the mainstream reporting...
Karina, I'm sorry, we've come up against a break. Do you want to stick around for another 3 minutes after the commercials? Okay, great. We're talking with Karina Rollins, taemag.com. And this is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
There are about 25 million small businesses in the United States. So why does it seem like they all have the exact same client?
Oh, yeah, I got your invoice. I was just waiting my customary 120 days to pay it.
With Open the Small Business Network, you can get a line of credit with no collateral required and the peace of mind that comes with it when you have the American Express business card, the card with the savings, rewards, and services of the Open Network behind it. To apply, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Buster. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. It's the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Karina Rollins of the American Enterprise magazine. Previously, she worked at the National Review and the New York Post. The website is taemag.com. And Karina, we've got just a minute or two to wrap up here. I've got five calls stacked up here. Tony in Waukegan, Illinois, Ed in Chicago, Kodiak, Columbia, South Carolina, Illinois, and Florida. And I thank you for lighting up our phone lines. I think we're going to have to take some of these calls after the top of the hour. And I know that I don't think it's going to be possible for you to stay on. And in fact, we've got another guest coming up in the next hour. But let's wrap this stuff up. When you say that there is a liberal bias in the media, what does that mean in your mind?
It means that there is, in general reporting, there is a tendency, a widespread tendency, to present a fact as negative about America and this administration.
Now, why is that liberal? Most liberals I know are very patriotic people.
They may be patriotic or may think they're patriotic, but they are very eager to believe the worst about this country and give the benefit of the doubt to people like Saddam Hussein. Here is one example.
No, I don't know anybody who fits that.
Well,
who fits
let me just give
criteria.
You one example. You had said earlier that basically the media research's problem with the reporting was just they didn't like what Peter Jennings said, for example. But it is much more than just personal taste. This was his narration of a pro-American celebration on March 21st, 2 days after the war had started. Iraqis were in the streets in a pro-American celebration, and he describes it and says, you know, they were singing and dancing and jumping up and down, at least for the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
For the cameras, why in the world would Iraqis fake their celebrations? At the same time, though, however, when there
were
these...
Well, the ones in Baghdad did because they were paid to.
No, but
I mean, that's fairly well documented.
But there were these pro-Saddam rallies, which took place under the direct eye
right,
of the Fed.
They were paid to also. I mean,
and they were forced, and those Jennings did not question. He reported
those
as sincere Saddam lovers.
You think
I mean,
so?
You don't think there's a discrepancy there in fairness of reporting?
If he did, I would agree with you, and that's certainly
well,
something
he did.
That
I have the direct quote from the broadcast on March 22nd.
Karina Rollins, thank you very much for being on our program today. You have been very brave and very, very you've defended your position well. I appreciate it. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to find more of Karina's writings, taemag.com. Thanks for being on the show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. In Britain today, lawmakers have now opened a second inquiry into the possibility the government there misled Parliament over the threat posed by Iraq and its weapons of mass destruction. This new investigation by the Foreign Affairs Select Committee is separate from one earlier order by Prime Minister Tony Blair. The latest now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The influential Foreign Affairs Select Committee is focusing on the claim from the British government that Iraq could launch a strike using weapons of mass destruction in just 45 minutes. It comes as Washington, D.C. faces renewed attacks for allegedly manipulating its evidence of Saddam Hussein's chemical and biological weapons. Since the war was officially declared over, no such weapons have been located, although their alleged existence was the key reason cited by U.S. President George Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair for going to war. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai today is urging his fledgling government to take time now to confront the biggest challenges facing that country. He says that includes fighting international terrorism and rival warlords within Afghanistan, and he admits it won't be easy.
It's a very difficult thing, really. But should we stop doing anything because it's difficult? No. We have to continue to work to detect them, and I hope we will succeed.
Yesterday, the Taliban in Afghanistan threatened to launch suicide attacks against U.S. and British troops and Afghan government officials in revenge for a big defeat earlier this month in which 40 Taliban fighters were killed. The threat came in leaflets distributed in southeast Afghanistan. And in a blow to civil rights advocates, a court has ruled today the names of people arrested by the federal government following the September 11th attacks don't have to be released. That ruling handed down today by a federal appeals court. The panel said the government is entitled to withhold the names of people detained for immigration violations as well as those charged with federal crimes and the names of their lawyers. The move comes as a serious defeat to more than 20 civil liberties groups that had tried to use the Freedom of Information Act to allow for disclosure of certain government records pertaining to the arrests following the attacks.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
U.S. envoy to the Middle East, John Wolf, today met earlier with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, as well as the Palestinian security chief, to discuss ways to possibly save what is, of course, being called the roadmap for peace in the region. There's still no word, however, on just how those talks went. Wolf yesterday met with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. He's touring the region to push for an end to the recent wave of renewed violence that has included suicide bombings in Israel, as well as retaliatory strikes by Israel on suspected Hamas militants.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
The woman at the center of the landmark Roe v. Wade case wants the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision set aside. Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe in the case that legalized abortion, says the current social climate has made the ruling, quote, no longer just. McCorvey's attorney, Alan Parker, earlier read a statement.
I believe with all my heart that it's time for the country to reexamine the social experiment that was abortion.
McCorvey plans a news conference today to announce the filing of a motion to reopen her case. And Japan's demanding the U.S. military hand over a Marine suspected of raping a 19-year-old woman in Okinawa. Lieutenant General Wallace Gregson today apologized for the allegations.
Our sincere regret for any anxiety this case has caused the Okinawa people and any suffering that has been caused to the young lady involved. We take this very seriously.
Police say they obtained an arrest warrant yesterday for Lance Corporal Jose W. Torres, who allegedly raped the woman last month. The allegation follows several high-profile criminal cases involving U.S. military personnel on the island. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and Water Pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, if you want to get to it, there's a lively conversation going on there. Go to tomhartman.com. And click on the radio program link, and then go to, and then on the radio program page, just click on the chat button, which will take you to the trade forum, where you click on the chat button again, and you are in. And it's moving, it's scrolling so fast, I'm losing some of these things. But I'm patriotic to this land, the people, the culture, says Diane. I love this country. My family came over long before it was a country. But to remain truly patriotic to this land, I love it. It is my duty to always look with suspect or suspicion at the administration or the administration in charge. And then Putkin 915 says, this is exactly what happened in Germany under Hitler. Remember, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. And interesting, it is a real interesting conversation going on there. Back to our telephone lines, and thank you for callers for hanging on over the break and sticking with us here. Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, and thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Sure, Tom.
Hey, Tony.
I don't know where this lady was coming from. I mean, my goodness. I know here, you know, I think maybe because she's stuck on the East Coast, you know, she might feel like, you know, the rest of the country revolves around, you know, the Boston Globe or the New York Times or, you know, whatever, the liberal bias that she's expressing. But that is such a tiny, tiny part of what most Americans are exposed to. I mean, I'm out here in Chicagoland, and, you know, we have WLS, you know, as our talk radio station here. And, you know, a liberal voice? Come on. I mean, we get Ski and Scanner on Sunday at noon to, like, 2 in the afternoon. That's it. There's right. Nothing else. Every other time you pick up, you know, you pick them up, that's all you hear. Conservative blather. I mean, and that's all it is, just blather.
Well, Tony, she was.
There's not a moderate voice like yours. There's not a liberal voice like Malloy. There's none of that. It's all right-wing all the time.
Well, Tony, what Corina was saying, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think that what she was saying, having read her article, what she was picking on or pointing out or whatever, the what she perceived as bias, was ABC News, CBS News, NBC. They were talking about the major network news programs, and she represents pretty much the mainstream right. I mean, she's the senior editor of the publication of the American Enterprise Institute, and that's the, you know, one of the major think tanks to whose tune this administration marches.
Well, you know, as we go through and we listen to, I mean, look at what's happening to the CBSs and the NBCs and the rest of those. I mean, market share for those guys have been going down for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, we on the left, we don't really watch those networks. I mean, even the mainstream people don't really watch those networks anymore.
Where do you get your news?
Well, frankly, you know, I hate to say it now, but I can't watch CNN because, you know, it's just so bad. Fox, oh, my God, forget it. If it wasn't for this network with, you know, with you guys on here, I would never be able to hear anything that's remotely outside the mainstream news. I still watch a little bit of CNN, but just enough to get the basic idea as to what's going on. I read the newspapers. I go online and I read Slate. Salon.com. I try and get my information through alternative sources because the stuff that we're getting, it's just so right wing. I mean, in so many different ways. I mean, there's so many things that they never talk about. You never hear. I mean, I guarantee you that if we were to go to Fox News right now and we just mentioned the following points, you'd never hear about them. You'd never hear about the corporations that are getting the tax cuts and then setting up offshore accounts.
Right.
You know, you'd never hear about the Cheney's connections with Halliburton, how he's still making money off of them, even though he's not supposed to do that.
Right. You wouldn't hear about who's making money in Iraq. Tony, I understand and I agree. I want to get to the rest of these calls here. Is there a final point that you wanted to make, or have you made
it? Just the final point that, you know, I just think that this lady is totally missing the point. I just think she's totally missing the point. And if there is, and the point that she made about how we liberals don't love America, that is such BS. That is so wrong on so many levels.
I find that quite insulting.
It's offensive.
But it's a pervasive myth on the right.
That's offensive. I am a high school public school teacher, and I guarantee you that if I didn't love my country, there's no way I'd do what I do for a living.
Yeah. But, Tony, thank you.
Thanks,
Tom.
Thank
you for your comments. I appreciate your calling in. Good point, a very important point. And Ed in Chicago has a comment. You had said you wouldn't be mean to Corina. I'm sorry that you know we've moved on here. But what was your comment, Ed?
Oh, I think, you know, whenever the discussion gets to the liberal and the conservative, you know, we're speaking in terms of polarity. You know, I think a lot of people, I don't know how old Corrine is, but I don't think a lot of people really understand where the current what most people think the word liberal means, I mean, mm-hmm. where that was born from. And it really came out of the integration movement in the 60s and the 70s. And basically liberal became a code word for, you know, someone who wanted integration in the South.
Really? You mean in the mainstream media? Well, the word liberal as a political descriptor goes back to the 17th and 18th centuries in Europe.
The way it's being used now is a bad person who hates the country, right? We heard Crean say that's what she kind of – I heard that come out, that liberals are people that hate – that think that America does bad things.
That wish that Saddam had won the war, for example.
Right. When the truth is – and this is what I think. I think they're – you can basically, you know, since the Christ, you know, before then, you can break things down into the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have things they're all for the status quo. The mm-hmm. people who would like to see things change and would like things to be better, I'd rather call them progressives than liberals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the people that have all of the money right now, the people that own the means of production for oil, they don't want it to change. They don't want solar collectors. They don't want solar wind. They don't.
Yeah, for sure.
They're kings in their world.
Yep.
And what we are to them is we're consumers.
We are labor and consumers.
And consumers.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
The word liberal.
We got three more callers here, so I've got to ask you to hurry it up a little. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well. Anyway, I just wanted to bring
final comment.
Yeah, a couple of things. If the media was liberal, why didn't we hear about the rigging of the Florida elections, which is well documented?
Yeah.
And why don't we know about the poisoning of our troops through the anthrax vaccine?
Or with depleted uranium. Yep.
And that there's several films that it's all well documented. It's never on the TV. Last night on CNN, they were talking about Jessica Lynch again.
Yeah.
About turning her into a rock star.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. We've got Steve in Illinois. A lot of calls from Illinois today. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome. You're on the air, Steve.
Hello. I heard a beep. Are you still there?
I am here. Are you?
I love your show. Hey, I have a.
Thank you.
I've organized my thoughts into a brief outline. I'll try to be brief and concise.
Okay, great, because we've only got a couple minutes.
I wanted to say that the media is biased on a spectrum from fascist to conservative, and that basically it's conservative because of lack of what I would call progressive ideas and really creative ideas, such as perhaps having we would all have no salaries, but we would just have it. It'd be like the national dividend where it's all divided equally amongst all citizens and you get a check once a year. And then there's no coverage of the labor movement. I get the Socialist Worker, great alternative source. They cover laundry cleaning place. They unionize. They're talking about, they cover labor news. About little workshops where they, 10 people, they get to, they form a union. Also, there was no coverage of the May Day celebration and an acknowledgement that people died for the 8-hour workday. Also, the news is usually for profit. I think she was a nice lady. News for profit, I think, allows the tolerance for inaccuracy for the name of profit. If it's sensational, we'll do it. Once they figure out it's inaccurate, it's too late. We've done collected rent for the month.
That's something I would have brought up with her had I had the time.
The bias. Oh, and it's I see the anti-government sentiments probably play into the fascist elements because the corporations, if there were to be any type of revolution or whatever, the corporations would move in. They've got all the cash, and they already have private armies, basically, much akin to the East India Tea Company of good old India back in the day. Bias is dangerous because it affects our decision-making abilities. If we can't get a full, informed picture of the reality around us, we can't make good decisions. And there goes any effective, citizen ability. If you can't decide, you can't, and you can't do it if you're living in a bias.
And if you're not well informed, Steve, good points, and I appreciate your calling. Thank you very much for sharing your point of view with us. And JT in Florida has a comment. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, JT.
Good afternoon, actually. So thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to point out that frankly, in this area of the country, the media is horrendously conservative.
In this part of the country, meaning Florida?
Yeah. The panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Florida, where they said, the votes weren't counted and stuff, and that it's amazing down here how many votes were not counted. and what is still going. Pardon?
You mean in 2000?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, in 2002, there was still a real problem with the number of votes and how many votes were not counted and stuff in the gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
The one thing I was going to point out with this, the Katrina thing, is that on the liberal or conservative bias, is that down here on the conservative media, the problem is that any news that is not complimentary or cheerleading for the right is considered liberal, no matter if it's true or anything. You hear nothing about, like they were saying, the tax credits for 7,000-pound vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You hear nothing in the news, and it's like Fox. There is absolutely no debate.
Mm-hmm. The only it's actually 6,000 pounds is the cutoff, but yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, okay, that's even more wonderful. as it's, you know, so people, you know, if we were concerned about our dependence on oil and the fact that we went to war, whether they believe it or not, we went to war so that we would have a ample supply of oil.
Well, and one of the questions that has to be asked at some point, maybe we should do a show about this, Steve, is, or JT rather, is what was that a good reason to go to? I mean, if the United States goes down the tubes because we don't have access to oil, should we be pursuing oil around the world, or should we be developing alternative energy sources?
Duh.
I mean, yeah, okay. For me, it's a pretty clear case, but I mean, you've got apparently intelligent people on the other side trying to build a case for that. I'd like to hear their point of view.
Well, it just makes it just doesn't make any sense at all. Is that have you we are sitting here? If nothing else, we should be using up instead of drilling in like the Gulf of Mexico here and all that, which is now back on the.
I'm with you, JT. I'm with you. I've got to end it right there because we've got a break coming up here. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on Kodak in Columbia, South Carolina. We'll take your call right after this break.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
What do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. And what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So if you're involved with a group, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Can you stand hearing a little bit of good news? It comes from an unlikely source. That massive tax bill that the Bushites just rammed through Congress, giving away at least $325 billion of our tax dollars to a handful of rich Americans that neither need nor deserve this windfall. But sometimes you can find a jewel in a junk pile. Tucked into Bush's massive giveaway to the Wall Street crowd is a little something that will help folks from our streets. It's a $20 billion provision to provide emergency aid for states that are grappling daily with our nation's growing health care crisis. Nearly every state in America is facing a budget squeeze, and to make ends meet, most legislatures are blindly whacking the budgets for health care programs that provide essential services to seniors, low-income children, people with disabilities, and others without health care coverage. In my state of Texas, for example, legislators, quote, fixed their budget shortfall by tossing some 250,000 children out of the state health care program. Out of sight, out of mind. It's children like these that the emergency health care money will help. But this $20 billion jewel didn't just appear in Bush's junk pile of a bill. It was placed there through a determined effort led by the men and women of the Service Employees International Union. Half of SEIU's members are nurses and other healthcare employees who are out on the front lines of meeting America's needs. And they are appalled that so many are being abandoned in a country that is so rich. So they forged a coalition with community groups, seniors, and others, and launched a Put Families First grassroots campaign, bombarding our Congress with thousands of personal appeals for decency, fairness, and sanity. This is Jim Hightower saying, insanely, the Bushites opposed this aid, but people power prevailed. When people get organized, we win. To join other fights for good health care, call SEIU, 202-898-3200.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. Kodak in Columbia, South Carolina is on the line. Kodak, welcome to the program.
Yes, thanks for having this discussion. I think the major difference between the right-wing philosophy and the liberal and the progressive is the fact that we are an educated, informed group of people, and that was illustrated by the comments made by Pareda. Once again, we just hear their same regurgitation of these unsubstantiated facts and also figures. And one in particular that we keep hearing is about all the people that's out of the same field. And once again, you know, no one had a chance to ask her whether or not are we responsible for in part of some of those them.
And for example, also, George Bush not following through on his suggesting that the Shia in the South should rise up and then backing out and not defending them. That filled up the largest grave as far as I can tell.
Right, exactly. And we still don't have an actual camp there. And then another point that with her is that, and I think some of the other callers wanted to make, As long as you're on top of the trash heap, it's easy for you to have a sort of jovial come-hither type attitude when it comes to something that doesn't have a direct effect to you. And then if that effect is monetary, you don't have the same passion that I think that we have as we see. Not just conflict that's going on about the actual war itself, but all the things that come from this administration seem to be wrapped up in some form of not revealing the whole truth.
Right, or catering to special interests, or coming up with more campaign cash. Kodak,
I had one question I wanted to ask.
Yeah, one quick point, because we've got another caller here, and we're up against the break.
Where, in her magazine, in her writing, who does she quote as, you know, where does she get her stories from?
You can find out by going to taemag.com, which is her website, and she was quoting from another conservative organization.
I think I will have to.
Okay, check it out, Kodak. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right.
This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. It is 27 minutes after the hour, and Rama in Vermont's on the line. Rama, we've got about a minute left. What's up?
Yeah, hey, good morning, Tom, or good afternoon,
rather. Hey, good morning.
Yeah, and this whole thing with media...
bias, and I'll talk real fast because you're running out of time, but I guess I come to the conclusion of we got to stop caring about the media being biased. We have to find better ways for us to communicate, and we have to stop being so damn curious about what people like Limbaugh or Hannity are saying, because these guys are serial morons anyway. And we just have to figure out how we can communicate and to get our message out. And, you know, this mass media that we all, and it bothers me too, and I work at a radio station which is very heavily on the conservative stuff, but, you know, there's ways to work around that, and one of them is the ways that you guys put out your show is not only on the airwaves but also over the Internet. And I know growing up in my family, you had to have a couple things in order to win an argument. You had to be loud. We were a loud family. But you also had to be correct, and you had to be able to present your facts in an intelligible manner. And these are the things that we need to work on, and I think the progressive or the non-Republican-oriented public discussion is making big, big strides.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Rama. I appreciate that, Rama in Vermont. There's a piece that I wrote that's on commondreams.org today. You might find interesting, by the way, www.commondreams.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say fires that are out of control burn up millions of tons of coal every year. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. A group of scientists say huge amounts of pollution and greenhouse gases are being added to the atmosphere by coal fires that are burning underground and at the surface. In the United States, there are coal fires smoldering in Pennsylvania and Colorado. Similar fires are burning in China, India, South Africa, and Australia. Glenn Strocker is a geologist at East Georgia College, and he studies the effects of these fires on health and the environment. Earlier this year, Strocker and his colleagues spoke about the consequences of these wildfires during a meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Strocker says underground coal fires pose a potential health risk. That's because gas from the burning coal accumulates toxins as it rises to the surface. The gas interacts with underground water in a way that draws chemicals out of underground rocks. Strocker says these chemicals include poisonous compounds such as arsenic and mercury. Strocker says the fires also release huge amounts of sulfur compounds and greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide and methane. Strocker says it's almost certain these fires are having an effect on the environment.
We do know that enormous amounts of carbon dioxide and other gases are being put into the atmosphere from these fires, and so it stands to reason that there must be some overall effect to the health of Earth's climate and to greenhouse gases themselves.
In China alone, wildfires consume an estimated 200 million tons of coal each year. Strocker says some fires in China have been burning for more than 200 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We are moving along to another topic. What's the best way to take on corporate-driven media and its messages? Back in 1970, Jim Morrison, we should have had him for our bumper music, The Doors, remember The Doors? And Jim Morrison made the following comment on 1970 on a CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation interview about the state and the purpose, perhaps, of the media.
The spectacle of millions and millions of people sitting in movie theaters and in front of television sets every night watching a second or third hand reproduction of reality going on when the real world is right there in their living room or right outside in the street or down the block somewhere. I think it's a tool to somnambulize or hypnotize people into a kind of waking sleep.
And into that waking sleep have stepped many advertisers and many corporations who want to put their message out. Now, I suppose I should put a caveat on. This is a commercial-supported radio program. But now we have, for example, in the hospitals, the drug companies have come up with a patient channel. It's going to be installed in 1,100 hospitals by the end of this year. And it's General Electric owns it. And it plays health programs with heavy, heavy drug company ads. Well, we've got this, we've got advertising in the school, we've got ads everywhere, and they're all basically reciting one message into that waking sleep that Jim Morrison talked about, and that is, buy our product, or something beyond that. Now, into this has come a new group, Commercials with a Conscience, and they've produced some commercials that are taking these things on. Here's just a little clip. Now, this is a television commercial, so what you have to imagine as you're listening to this is that there's a whole bunch of different people of different races, different ethnicities, different dress. One guy, an American Indian, dressed up in a little bit of a conspicuously Native American costume, and so on. Listen to this just short clip.
The people
will uphold the Constitution
of the United States of America.
I will not be silent.
I will not be silent.
I want a peaceful resolution.
I want a peaceful resolution.
For world conflict.
I am patriotic.
These are all different Americans.
I stand for peace and justice.
Across America.
I will protect our civil liberties.
It's our future too.
It's our future too.
I love this country.
I love this country.
I love this country.
I am an American.
We have spoken.
I have spoken.
I have spoken.
Commercials with a Conscience is produced by Jacqueline Kane Productions, and we're very fortunate and honored to have on our program today Jacqueline Kane. Jacqueline, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. Tell us about Commercials with a Conscience. How did you come up with this idea, and what are you up to right now?
Well, we came up with this idea probably about 9 months ago when we realized, and probably before that, it started to brew, that the media was just totally being taken over by the right, including our news, which is just horrifying that we wouldn't be getting fair news that was balanced. And it seemed that the voices of the people were not being heard. And we know that there's so many people with us that were very upset about going to war with Iraq and a lot of the choices that this administration was making.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought was, well, if we have to, we'll buy the media. And we'll create our own commercials and our own message, and we'll get the message out there however we need to.
We should let our listeners know.
I'm sorry?
I thought you'd finish your sentence there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so that's how it started.
Okay, great. We should let our listeners know Jacqueline's commitment to social and political causes has been reflected throughout her career as a producer and director of documentaries, gala events and benefits supporting nuclear disarmament, AIDS awareness, and a whole variety of social activist causes. Right now, the website for this is standupnow.org. Is that right, Jacqueline?
Yes, it is. And, you know, what we're working on right now is you can actually view this commercial that you just heard at standupnow.org, and if you don't have the correct media player for it, you can still go to the website to get information, and I urge you to make a donation, which you can do online, so that we can air these nationwide. The goal is to have them airing on MSNBC, CNN, all the major cable news networks, especially in Washington, D.C., and Texas, and across the country. And the next commercial that we're currently producing, along with Greg Palast, is on voter fraud.
Right. And the voting machines. We'll come back to that in just a second. Jacqueline, right at the moment, we've got Stan in Birmingham, Alabama on the line. Stan, welcome to the program. Stan? Maybe we don't. I guess we're back, Jacqueline.
Okay.
Stan is there. Okay, Stan, welcome to the program. You have a question or comment?
Thank you very much, and good afternoon. I just wanted to say we have been tamed and trained to believe a very big lie. That big lie is that mind control from big business and big government is not a horrendous crime, but mind control by the abuse of big business and big government is a horrendous crime against humanity. From the numbing mind control of TV alpha waves to our public education system modeled after Nazi Germany by the private sector, I pose this question. How much more powerful is mind control in America today than it was in Nazi Germany? I maintain that it's many times more powerful because we have roughly 30 times more technology and they know 10 times more about human psychology.
Okay, so great. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate your call. And thanks for that comment. We're speaking with Jackie Kane of Commercials with a Conscience. The website is standupnow.org. Jackie, do you think that mind control has reached the proportions that Stan talks about in the United States? Is that what you're trying to take on with your commercials?
Well, I certainly don't want to control anyone's mind with my commercials. We're encouraging people to wake up. Yes. I think there is a degree of it kind of sounds drastic to call it mind control, but we are so bombarded with messages that are just coming from one side, and people are blinded to the truth of what's going on right now, and that's really scary. So I guess you could go to the extreme of saying that is true, because this administration has hijacked democracy, and they've done it in the guise of patriotism. And if you really uncover the truth of what's going on, they really have done the opposite. Of providing us with more democracy and protection, they've actually made this a very scary world to live in. And they will hijack the vote again if we don't do something about it. And I'm terrified that the damage that they're inflicting on this country and the world is going to be very difficult to reverse. And they're doing it, you know, through laws. They're doing it through acts that they're voting in. And that's going to become difficult to, like I said, to reverse unless we stop it now.
Jacqueline, you're going out there and buying commercial time for this message. This, you know, maybe I'm missing something here, but this seems to me like an unsustainable model. In traditional advertising, you run an ad, and if the ad produces more revenue than it costs, you continue to run it, and if it doesn't, you stop. Are these commercials generating contributions and donations for your organization and you know, to the extent at least of their cost, or is this the kind of thing where you're going to have to be continually going to the public and asking them to support, or going to foundations and things like that? Do you have a model that's self-sustaining for this?
It is a little difficult. There's definitely been people with passion like myself and others that have put money out of pocket and or donated their time to get these messages out there, because we just feel so desperately that it needs to be done. Our hope is that through the commercial that also, the commercial that you just heard, when you see it on television, you do see at the end standupnow.org as the website. So between that and a massive email campaign that we've done with it, because you can view it online, and through, you know, shows like yours and others, that we can get the word out and raise money through the public. So it is a public effort. Yeah,
let me give
money
a plug
raise.
For radio here, by the way. The most cost-efficient way to reach listeners or viewers is radio. It's much more, so you might want to consider radio advertising as well as television. My little plug there.
Yes, no, absolutely.
What kind of results are you getting?
Well, we're just really starting our campaign, so people love the commercial that we did, and the donations are starting to come into the website, and people have offered their support on this next commercial very much so, because people are terrified about this voter fraud situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. You know, people have offered equipment and top-of-the-line editing and so forth, so I feel confident as we get the word out there more and more that we really can make this a public effort, and people will, you know, step up to the plate.
Great. We're talking with Jacqueline Kane of Jacqueline Kane Productions, who are participating in putting together Commercials with a Conscience, actually creating one of the creators of Commercials with a Conscience. StandUpNow.org is the website. If you'd like to be on the program today, ask Jacqueline a question. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And we have John in Panama City, Florida. Jacqueline has taken on media bias here. John, welcome to the program. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the media bias, I agree with that other caller earlier and stuff about the fact that it's it seems like the far right media thinks that everything that is not complimentary to them is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore liberal. And I have a real problem with how they've replaced used the name liberal like red commie.
Right.
And,
or
how
like
it's,
a... Yeah, or like an ethnic or racial slur almost. It's
like down here. Well, it's the wink-wink, like you were saying earlier, the wink-wink as far as the liberal is now the person who was actually for segregation. And so many of the conservatives now and the Republicans now basically were racist Democrats.
John, do you think that if you saw an advertisement on TV warning about the fact that these electronic voting machines that are being installed across the country by a number
Chuck
of corporations
Hagel
that these voting machine companies?
Well,
that
Chuck
are being
Hagel owns most of those companies, you know.
Oh, Chuck Hagel's company. Yeah, he actually was the president of one of them. He's now a member of the United States Senate. But I think he still owns stock in that corporation.
And surprisingly won by a large margin. So did the same company that he installed in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware of this.
That's the governor in Alabama now.
Yeah, I wrote the original two op-eds about this on CommonDreams.org that I think stirred up a lot of this.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
CommonDreams.org, and scroll down to my name and click on it. You'll find them.
I passed them along.
But my question to you, John, is if you saw an ad like that on the air, if you saw one of Jackie's ads, or the ad that you just heard, would it motivate you to do something, and if so, what? And if not, what could Jackie do to more effectively motivate you?
Number one, it would motivate me, but number two, I'd want to make sure Jackie indicates in those ads that these are not advertisements coming from big corporations. And the fact that with limited amount of money, somehow in that commercial has to indicate that we are fighting with no money against huge money. This is like a David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Venture, and I'm not sure how you can word that, or if there's something in the name, or something in the kickers at the end of the commercial that indicates that it is this class warfare thing or whatever you want to call it. Not even that. It's basically stand up for get our country back from the people
Jackie,
that own it.
Jackie, your thoughts on John's point?
Many people suggested doing it as a PSA, and the reason I didn't do it as a PSA is a public service announcement, which stations are required to air a certain amount of. But, of course, they can do it at whatever time they want to, and they can also refuse certain ones, which mm-hmm. certainly these most likely would have been refused, which is why, we decided that we would actually buy them. And, in fact, and then, in effect, they become considered commercials. But I hope that the standupnow.org, which you see at the end of the spot or here, indicates that this is, an organization that is supported by donations. And
Okay, great. And, John, thank you for your call. I appreciate your calling in. Sherwood in Nashville, Tennessee, has a question. Sherwood has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Sherwood.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jacqueline. Listen, when that beep went off, I kind of lost a little of y'all's audio. But, Jacqueline, I'm a little confused about what you're referring to when you say voter fraud. That's a term that's thrown around pretty loosely and sometimes associated with events in the last presidential election in Florida. You know, if there were any fraud there, I think that fraud would have been perpetrated by the Democratic Party in Dade County and Palm Beach County. They designed the ballots there. They were the poll watchers there. They were the people who created the infamous butterfly ballot. And you know, ultimately, all those votes were recounted ad nauseum by public officials, by news organizations, even foreign news organizations like the BBC came in and recounted them. And every time they were recounted, it was always the same. Mm-hmm. George Bush won. You guys talk about media bias. That is another confusing point to me. I'll grant you that Fox News leans to the right. But certainly you can't be referring to Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings as being bastions of the conservative party. Oh, please. And what about CNN? That is absolutely the Clinton News Network. Do I need to remind you about Peter Arnett and all the damage he's done to this
country?
Got
it, Sherwood. Got it. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the call, Sherwood. I appreciate that.
Can I answer?
Jackie? Sure, please.
Okay, two
Jacqueline,
different points
me.
There. So I'll answer the first one on voter fraud. It already was proven in a court of law. The problem wasn't with the actual voting. It was with the computerization of the voting records, the rolls, which allowed Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush and their contractor, Choice Point, which was then called DBT, to remove more than 97,000 voters from the rolls before the election even took place. And it was proved that 95% of those would have been eligible to vote. And the majority of those voters that were removed were African Americans, Hispanics, and Democrats. And in a court of law, it was proved that this was illegal. They were told to put them back on the records, and as of yet, they have not done so. And in fact, this administration, this president, has put into effect the Help America Vote Act, which spreads this very system. And on top of that, it also
Jackie, we're going to have to finish that right after this commercial break. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
James Carver here to talk to you about something that's finer than frog hair, something that really puts the pepper in the gumbo. I'm talking about InPhone, people, a new telephone service that takes 411 and adds a whole lot of giddy-up. Just call 888-411-1111 and you get an operator who will fetch your phone numbers, movie times, driving directions, restaurant reservations. How does that grab you, fella? Let me say that number once more, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL
whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a biweekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the years, love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But, you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons.
Screw texture or something like
screw
that.
Screw them. That's what I said. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking this segment here with Jacqueline Kane of Jacqueline Kane Productions. They're currently airing a commercial called Voice of the People, put together by a group called Commercials with a Conscience. And Jacqueline, you had a two-part response to Sherwood's comments. You want to wrap that up?
Sure. We were talking about the Help America Vote Act, which is a disguise, actually, to steal the election again. And it spreads this computerized voter roll system where they can drop names from the voting rolls. And it also asks for computerized voting machines to be installed by the next election, next presidential election.
Yeah, I think most people don't realize, I had a conversation with our Secretary of State's office about this a couple of months ago, that under this law, the Secretaries of State, which in most states, as far as I know in all states, is an elected political office.
Mm-hmm.
So these are politicians.
Yes.
And with political alliances that are conspicuous. And, in fact, in the case of Katherine Harris in Florida, she was actually the head of the elect George Bush for president campaign in that state in 2000, that the secretaries of state are being given the power to control and purge the entire state's voter list. Now, here in Vermont, Up until right now, in fact, our Secretary of State was on the radio, Deb Markowitz, yesterday talking about this. As of this moment, each county maintains their own list, or each municipality maintains their own list. And she was saying, well, this is a good thing because it will allow us to catch duplicates. If somebody votes, if somebody registers to vote in multiple cities, we can catch that. And that makes a certain amount of sense. But the downside of it is that you're now handing to politicians the ability to do what was done in Florida in 2000, where Catherine Harris purged from the rolls over 90,000 people who lived in predominantly African-American or Democratic voting areas. And this is the concern that you're going to be speaking to with these next commercials, I take it?
Yes, we will. The system is actually very scary, and also the fact that there's no paper trail. There were many people that left the voting booth last election saying, where they did have the computerized system, saying, I didn't vote that way. And the people at the voting booth said, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. And you don't.
Right.
So what we're asking for is that there be a receipt, number one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Jacqueline, I'm sorry we've run out of time here on the program. I thank you very much for being on, for being a guest here. Commercials with a Conscience is standupnow.org. Our previous guest was Karina Rollins, taemag.com. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2000.